Mind readers and astrologers claim the power to predict the future destiny of those who consult them. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about the final destiny of every person who's been born since time began. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Today we're going to draw aside the curtain of the here and now and allow the Bible to paint a picture of the future. With inspiration as our guide, we'll let the Word of God reveal to us what will finally happen to every soul who's ever lived on the face of this earth. Now many people believe that the world is destined to become better and better, that Christianity will finally lead into a grand millennial reign of peace on this earth. Now, I wish this were really true, friends, but the Bible reveals an exactly opposite condition. Jesus taught that the world would become more and more godless until it would be in a similar state as the age of Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, Jesus said, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, Luke 17:26. Now listen, how was it in those days? In those days of Noah, Genesis 6:5 tells us of the Antediluvians that every imagination of the thoughts of their heart was evil continually. Now further evidence can be found in 2 Timothy 3:1-5, where the prevailing sins of the last days are graphically described. Among those terrible transgressions we find this one, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Now friends, this alerts us to the fact that conversions will be few, and true godliness very much known by its absence. This picture of a temporal millennium is only a dream. Today we're going to seek for the facts concerning this 1,000 years of peace. In fact, actually, the word millennium is not even found in the Bible at all. Many of you may know that. It comes from two Latin words which mean 1,000 years, and this period of time is referred to mainly in the 20th chapter of Revelation. Now, we've got to establish two points in order to proceed in a full study of this doctrine. When will the millennium begin, and when will it end? And notice this text in Revelation 26. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now notice that this tells us that only the good people come up in the first resurrection, and they begin their reign with Christ at that same time, and they'll rule for 1,000 years. So the millennium begins then with the resurrection of the righteous. But when do the wicked come up then, if the righteous come up at the beginning of the 1,000 years? Look at Revelation 20 verse 5. It says, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Now, friends, the rest of the dead would have to be the wicked. And it says here, they will remain in their graves until the close of the 1,000 years, and then they'll come forth in the second resurrection. Now, you see how plain this is? Thus far, we've seen that the millennium is a 1,000-year period that begins with the resurrection of the good people and closes with the resurrection of the wicked. Now, let's ask this. When will the first resurrection take place, which introduces the millennium? Well, at the second coming of Christ, friends, it says, the dead in Christ shall rise first, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So this event marks the beginning of the 1,000 years. The righteous dead come out of their graves with immortal bodies to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And then verse 17 says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The living righteous are also united with the resurrected ones, and they ascend to join the blessed Lord at his coming. Now keep in mind that this is the occasion for the change from mortality to immortality. 1 Corinthians 5:51 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, friends, where do all these changed and translated saints go with Christ? In John 14:2, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So that redeemed host then who've been resurrected, and those living saints who've been translated and changed, will go up there together in the heavens to meet Jesus, and then they'll go to that paradise of God that He's prepared for them, and they will remain there for a period of 1,000 years, according to Revelation 20, verse 4. Now, when Jesus appears in His glory, there'll be four groups of people to be dealt with: the righteous living, the righteous dead, the wicked living, and the wicked dead. Now, we've seen what will happen to both groups of the righteous. Now, let's consider the wicked, what will happen to them at His coming. These wicked ones who are in their graves at that time will remain there until the end of the 1,000 years, because we just read, the rest of the dead live not again till the 1,000 years were finished. But now, friends, what about the living wicked? Why, they're going to be destroyed by the brightness of His coming. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. They'll pray for the rocks and mountains to fall on them to hide them from the face of Jesus. You see, sin cannot exist in His presence. Therefore, sinners will be struck down when He appears. The prophet Jeremiah says of this time, "And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end." Jeremiah 25:33. And then he adds this significant comment, "They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground." Now listen, why will they not be lamented over or buried? For the simple reason, friends, that there's nobody left on the face of the whole earth. The righteous are all in heaven with Jesus. The wicked dead remain in their graves, and the wicked who were slain must lie where they fell. The earth has been emptied of all its inhabitants. Now we're going to consider the condition of the earth during the millennium. The entire world will be turned into a no man's land. There's not a single living human being left, and the desolation is indescribable. Listen to Jeremiah's picture of it. "I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord, and by His fierce anger." Jeremiah 4:23-26. So at the coming of Jesus there was a great earthquake that caused cities to crumble. At the presence of the Lord, man's strongest institutions turn into rubble and ruin. Now there are people who honestly think that the unsaved will have an opportunity to accept salvation during this 1,000-year period. But it will be impossible for anybody to accept the gospel during this 1,000-year period. How do I know this? Look at Revelation 20, verse 5 again. "The rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished." Why, instead of any of the unsaved being alive and hearing the gospel during this millennium, they're all dead. They'll not have any chance whatsoever to hear the gospel and be saved during this millennial period. But now let's consider where the great adversary Satan will spend this millennial 1,000 years. We'll read now Revelation 20, verses 1 to 3. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season." Now there it is, friends. The devil will be bound or confined during the 1,000 years in a place called the bottomless pit. And what is that? Listen, the word bottomless pit comes from the Greek word abusus, or abyss. And it's used in the Septuagint version in Genesis 1-2 to describe the earth and its chaotic state before it was molded by the Word of God. "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." And that word deep is the very same word, the abusos, that's used over in the book of Revelation as the bottomless pit. And so this earth then, because it will be left in a state of chaos during the millennium, we can only conclude that this earth will be the prison house of Satan for that 1,000 years. He's bound here by a chain of circumstances so that he can deceive no one until that time period is ended. But now listen, what will happen at the close of the millennium? Let's notice carefully some of the events that mark the end of the 1,000 years. In Revelation 21:2, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Yes, the New Jerusalem descends from heaven with all the righteous people who've been reigning with Christ for that 1,000 years. Zechariah describes that event and how the feet of Jesus will touch the earth. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Zechariah 14, 4 and 5. So in his second coming, Jesus does not touch the earth at all, but the saints are caught up to meet him. But now, when the city descends, at the end of the 1,000 years, his feet touch the earth, and all the saints, it says, are with him. Now this time, he does come for his people. Not for them, rather. He came the second time for the people. Now he comes with the saints, it says. Now, another great event that marks the close of the millennium is the resurrection of the wicked. We read, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. And so the raising of the wicked dead also explains the 7th verse where it says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. You see, Satan now has people that he can operate on. And he begins to work feverishly to mobilize all those countless wicked ones who have been resurrected. And verse 8 tells us that he shall go out and deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. What a terrible scene that must be, friends. All the sinners of all ages being recruited by the evil genius of Satan for that final great battle in the controversy with God. But where is the battle to be fought, friends, and against whom? And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. Revelation 20, verse 9. So here we find the object of their wrath, that new Jerusalem which John saw coming down and in which the saints of God are. And what's the result of this final attempt by Satan to overthrow the rule of God? And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Revelation 20, verse 9. Friends, the devil had entered the last battle of his war against God. And the evil host of the wicked were overwhelmed by a flood of fire that devoured them. And so the story ends. But not quite, for the fire which devours the wicked also purges and purifies the earth. The very curse of sin will be burned out of it, leaving an atmosphere clean of every trace of evil. In 2 Peter 3:12 it says, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Yes, God will create a new earth that will rival the Garden of Eden for beauty. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Revelation 21:1. The saints of God will inherit this recreated earth as a home through eternity. The holy city will be its capital, and at that time the meek shall inherit the earth. But friends, here's a solemn thought for our final consideration. When the fire comes down, we must either be inside the city with God or outside with Satan. Where will you be? Every soul who's ever lived will be there in one group, on one place or another. Which will you be? Inside or outside?